I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Avocados, beer, phones, car parts, these are some of the products the U.S. imports from Mexico, a major trading partner. President Trump told Mexican leaders last week that unless they stop the flow of migrants at the U.S. border, he will impose a 5% tariff on all Mexican imports beginning on Monday and raise it every month until it reaches 25%. Yesterday, the Mexican government reportedly offered to send 6,000 troops to its border with Guatemala as part of the negotiations. Now, the Republican Party is against these tariffs. The stock market has had jitters since the announcement, and most economists oppose raising tariffs, saying it's essentially a tax that American consumers end up paying. While negotiations are ongoing and Trump is known to change his mind without warning or explanation, what would all this mean? We asked Chad Bound to join us. He's the Reginald Jones Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He examines international trade laws and institutions, trade negotiations, and trade disputes. Also the co-host of Trade Talks. That's a weekly podcast on the economics of international trade policy. Chad Bound, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
Let me quote something the president said yesterday to Laura Ingraham on Fox News. He said, tariffs are a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful word if you know how to use them properly. Is he using them properly?
Well,
I didn't know where to start, but might as well just jump in feet first here.
No, and I think that's the right question to ask. President Trump likes to use tariffs. I think we had recognize that by now. He uses tariffs a lot. He thinks of them as giving him leverage and basically the ability to bully other countries into getting something that he wants. But there is a big downside to that, and that is the economic cost of these things. And so tariffs basically are a tax. It's a tax that's only applied to goods that are made in a foreign country. So whether they're these, you know, Mexican avocados or cars coming in or phones or clothes. But those are ultimately taxes that are going to be paid by, in this case, American consumers. And so, yes, they can be used as leverage, but there are, you know, definitely costs associated with these. And the costs, at least the tariffs that have been imposed to date, all of the evidence suggests the costs are being paid by American consumers.
Well, let's talk about how Mexico and the U.S. economy are so intertwined. And even looking at the economy in Texas itself, I don't know if they're our second largest trading partner, but clearly a major trading partner. Things like cars and auto parts crossing the U.S.-Mexico border multiple times. Help us understand this relationship.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. In fact, what's happened with all of the tariffs that President Trump has imposed on China so far, Mexico has now become our largest trading partner. And I think cars, automobiles are the perfect example. So President Trump talks a lot about disliking the fact that Americans buy so many cars that are assembled in Mexico. Now, a lot of these are American car companies or Japanese car companies. And it's true. Mexico does sell a lot of cars to the United States and the American consumer. But it's something like, you know, 30% of the value of cars and other manufactured products that we're buying from Mexico is actually made up of American-produced parts,
wow,
components, engines,
wow,
that we first ship to Mexico. And so if President Trump ends up imposing tariffs and making it more difficult for Americans to be able to buy those products, it's ultimately going to hurt the same Americans that are selling all of the inputs to Mexico in the first place. And that's a big piece of this that I don't think President Trump is taking into consideration.
Use the word bully, using tariffs as a bullying tactic. Now, as we talk, there are negotiations going on. I thought it was interesting that yesterday, the Mexican government said they would send troops to the Guatemalan border. There's some talk about whether they would hold migrants, you know, within Mexico and not allow them into the United States. Would you say these bullying tactics are working?
Well, I'm really not sure. I think we do need to recognize that there is a fundamental crisis going on here that is a very, very difficult set of policy issues to have to address. So we do have what's driving the crisis is not actually immigrants from Mexico. These are largely immigrants coming into Mexico from its southern border with Guatemala that are coming from either Guatemala or other countries in Central America, El Salvador, Honduras, but that are leaving those countries because of violence and instability and insecurity. And so they're coming to the United States to try to get asylum. And because America has shut down, you know, and made it incredibly difficult for illegal migrants to get into the country, the main route that countries or that these types of people have to get in now is by claiming asylum, by showing up with, you know, their families and children, by Mexico sending, you know, more troops to their southern border with Guatemala. It could stop or help stop the flow of refugees. In migrants, but it is likely to create other problems. It's not as if these Mexican troops were sitting around doing nothing. You know, my understanding is these are the very same folks that are doing other things like fighting drug trafficking and fighting, you know, the illicit drug trade that America is also very worried about. So pushing them to deal with the migrant problem is really ultimately just taking them away from another problem.
This seemed to come, I believe it was a couple of tweets last week coming from the president saying that this is what he wanted to do to stem the flow of migrants coming into the United States. And I wonder whether, and as I mentioned in my introduction, I don't think there's any surprise here, is the president is impulsive. Things, and certainly the Mexico border has been such an important issue for him. But I would think for businesses want predictability. They want to be able to plan into the future. So while we're in negotiations here, what is the impact on businesses broadly speaking?
That is an incredibly important point. So President Trump spent the first 2 years of his administration renegotiating NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, this trade deal between the United States, Canada, and Mexico that he despised, that he ran against in his campaign for president. He renegotiated that thing. And it's right now, it hasn't been signed into law yet. It still has to go through Congress in the United States and in Mexico and Canada as well. But the idea behind that deal was to try to reduce a lot of this uncertainty that faces businesses about potential border barriers to trade. And the concern is, you know, even a country like Mexico that President Trump negotiated and was happy to negotiate a deal with and got one negotiated to completion, he basically now has ripped away all of the benefits of that uncertainty by introducing this threat of tariffs if Mexico doesn't do something else that he wants. So it's making it very difficult if you're a company to know, you know, what markets you're going to have open to you in the future, whether it's the Mexican market, the American market. Should you invest in new plants? Should you train workers to be able to, you know, create products, service products for those markets? It's really difficult now for companies to figure out what President Trump's true intentions here really are.
Well, it seems that his belief in tariffs is that by raising the prices, you would force a company to relocate, let's say, in the United States, so they wouldn't have to pay the tariffs. Is that how business works?
There can be a little bit of that. So there will probably be some relocation, you know, of production back to the United States, just because it's becoming so much more expensive to be able to sell into the United States from you know, almost anywhere else in the world because of President Trump's tariffs. And so mm-hmm. some companies, they're going to have to do that. But there are problems associated with that. The big one is countries are retaliating against U.S. exporters. So if you're a company that doesn't want to just service the U.S. market, you don't want to just sell to American consumers because, you know, 95% of the world's consumers live outside of our borders, you can't. You know, producing in America has actually become a less and less attractive place under President Trump because costs are going up because of his tariffs and because of the retaliation that trading partners are doing.
I was reading, it might have come from the Peterson Institute, looking at that if 25% tariff is imposed on Mexican imports into the United States, that households would pay an average of $900 more per year. Is that correct?
There's a range of estimates out there, but I think that's a good one to go with. And I think, you know, you just have to look at the wide variety of types of products that we buy from Mexico. You know, we do buy a lot of automobiles and trucks. And so those costs will go up. Those prices will go up. We buy a lot of clothing from Mexico. We also buy a lot of agricultural products, you know, avocados. And then there's also the really big concern about retaliation. And Mexico hasn't said anything about retaliation yet. But every other time President Trump has imposed one of his sets of tariffs, the trading partner that's been hurt by this, you know, has ended up retaliating and generating an additional set of costs to Americans.
Well, that's interesting. I'm looking at a story. It was in the Washington Post this morning about Texas, saying in 2018, Texas imported more than $107 billion worth of goods from Mexico. But Texas sent nearly $110 billion of its own products to Mexico, so about $3 billion more sent to Mexico than we get. Is that why people, including Republicans, are so nervous in Texas?
It really is, and that's probably a really good example because because Texas straddles the border there with Mexico. The way that a lot of these industries have set themselves up is as if, at least for them, on a commercial basis, the border with Mexico doesn't really exist. So you can make parts in the United States, sophisticated parts that would go, you know, into an engine of a car or to some fancy electronics products. You can make those in America, the high value added stuff, and ship it over the border, the physical border, into Mexico and have it be assembled there and then sold either back into the United States or exported somewhere else around the world. The really big concern is if you start imposing these tariffs or you create these other bottlenecks at the border, it really is going to impact the ability of companies in Texas and really alongside the border all throughout the Southwest there to be able to operate efficiently. It's gonna kind of muck up their supply chains and make it really difficult for them to continue to sell.
So it's hard to predict this, President. I'll preface my question with that, Chad Baum, but how do you see this going? And it seems like today is a critical day. The deadline imposed by the president so far has been Monday. What do you think?
I agree. You don't want to try to predict this president. I think we have to, and I think the Mexican government has to prepare for the worst. They have to prepare for the possibility that there really could be, you know, these new tariffs going into effect on Monday, like President Trump has threatened. I think we can hold out hope that won't be the case. And I think clearly the Mexican government sent a number of high-ranking officials from across various government agencies to Washington this week to discuss both the economic issues, the trade issues, the migration issues, the security issues. So they are working really, really hard to try to address this crisis, despite the fact that, you know, a number of the key Trump administration officials weren't in town this week. So President Trump created this crisis and said that he's going to impose tariffs. But a lot of the key government officials that on the American side that one would want to be talking to, you know, aren't even here. So I think there is the risk that this could actually turn into tariffs on Monday.
Is there a time when tariffs do make sense?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah. From this perspective, anytime you want to use a tariff, there's really, regardless of what your objective is, there's really some better policy out there that you could be using that wouldn't generate as many what economists call unintended consequences or kind of bad side effects as a tariff would. When we line up all the different ways that governments can intervene, even in for legitimate reasons, it just turns out that the tariffs really aren't high up on that list.
What would be a better policy then?
Well, if we're thinking about this particular crisis, I mean, the real fundamental underlying issue here is we have to deal with the human insecurity problem and the violence that's taking place in these countries, in El Salvador and Honduras. And so there's crime, there's drugs, but it's also concerns over economic development. The Trump administration has been actually cutting off aid to this region, American assistance to this region, instead of actively engaging to try to help these countries to make it so the conditions are such that, you know, the people actually want to stay and they want to work and they want to have jobs and then want to create new businesses. That's really a much better approach to tackle the underlying problem than try to use tariffs to stop people from coming in.
That's a heavy lift.
It is. It's not an easy problem to solve by any stretch. It really, really isn't. But these are people that we're talking about here, and these are their lives, and this is, you know, their security. And so if we're going to spend, government resources and government money, this is the kind of thing that we should be worrying about.
about a minute or so before we have to say goodbye. And I noticed that the Federal Reserve making some noises about having to maybe cut interest rates to offset whatever tariffs might go into effect. What do you make of that? And is that a good sign or you know, how do we factor all that in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Federal Reserve is, by and large, you know, just keeping track of the health of the overall U.S. economy. You know, there were new jobs numbers that were released this morning. Right. They were a little lower than was anticipated. But, you know, the Fed is looking at the trade war. It's looking at the impact of the tariffs. But it's looking at that in the context of all of the other broader economic indicators that it keeps track of. And ultimately, you know, once it takes all of those into consideration, our hope is that, you know, they'll adjust their policies, the policy tools that they have at their disposal accordingly.
And is the stock market a good barometer for economic health?
I'm not really of that view.
Yeah.
You know, it is definitely for some. It's definitely, you know, one of the things to worry about and to look at, but it's one of many.
Well, on that note, Chad Bown, thanks so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And again, he's the Reginald Jones Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, co-host of a weekly podcast called Trade Talks. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. And you can find out more about the program, download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our newsletter. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Kelsey Hansen. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.